Now, our time, we're late this morning, but just a thought, really. I'll only be able to give more or less the sort of bones of the of the thought, but I believe God has got it. I believe God has given it this morning, and therefore there must be some reason. And maybe there is a life here, or a number of lives, maybe for every one of us. There is something in this verse. It's Psalm 68 and verse 28. Psalm 68 and verse 28. Thy God hath commanded thy strength. Thy God hath commanded thy strength. It's a wonderful psalm. And there are a whole lot of gems in this psalm. And this is one of them. Thy God hath commanded thy strength. Strengthen, O God, that which thou hast wrought for us. Now, this is quite interesting. There's some difficulty in the translation here, and you'll find some variations in some of the versions. Some have got, command your God your strength. But we will take this word. This is how God gave it to me here in this version. Thy God hath commanded thy strength. In actual fact, the whole thought is simply this, that God is himself our strength. God is himself our strength. Thy God hath commanded thy strength. Now, it's simply wonderful when you think that God himself has sent forth a command. Now, God has only to say a word, and it's done. He said, let there be light, and instantly there was light. He said, let the water be divided from the earth, and the water was divided. There appeared an atmosphere. By the word of God, everything that appears came into being. We know that. Now, here we have another command of God. Thy God hath commanded thy strength. If you turn to verse 34, ascribe ye strength unto God. His excellency is over Israel, and his strength is in the skies. Ascribe ye strength unto God. His excellency is over Israel, strength is in the skies. Verse 35, O God, thou art terrible out of thy holy places. The God of Israel, he giveth strength and power unto his people. Blessed be God. Now, this word about strength, I think, is a quite important word, because we're told all the way through the Bible to be strong. Now, God never tells us to be something that he doesn't provide for. And I suppose most of us, sometime or another, or some of us pretty permanently, feel weak. I mean, this is the thing we say, oh, it's too much for me. It's just too much for me. The office is too much for me. Or the college is too much for me. The job, the people I work with, they're too much for me. Or the children are too much for me. Or my wife is too much for me, or my husband's too much for me. I mean, what we're really saying is, we haven't got the strength to put up with the problem. Whatever the problem is that we are facing, whether it's in the home, or whether it's at work, or whether it's in the church, we just have not got the strength to face the problem. Now, here is a word for you. Thy God hath commanded thy strength. Strengthen, O God, that which thou hast wrought for us. Now, there's evidently something which God has wrought, something which God has done, something which he has done for us. And the psalmist cries to the Lord, strengthen that thing. He's quite clear that it's not a sort of patching up of the old man. It's not a sort of getting behind the old man or old woman and sort of giving them a kind of lift, a kind of a little bit of power behind them. No, the psalmist is quite clear here. He says, it's that which you've done, Lord, for us and in us. Strengthen that thing. Strengthen that thing. Now, if we get hold of that, I think it will help us a little. Of course, if we turn to two other psalms, we find this same thought. Psalm 46, verse 1. God is our refuge and strength. Not God just gives us our strength, God commands us our strength, but God is our refuge and strength. He is our strength. Again, a psalm I think we all know quite well, but I sometimes wonder whether the words have sunk into us. Psalm 27 and verse 1, the Lord is my light and my salvation, whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Now, what is the strength of your life? Now, if you were to sit down and think about this, everyone has got a strong point. There's a sense in which you can't have weak points without strong points. Now, what is the strength of your life? The strength of, maybe it's your will. Oh, there are some people who have got a will like iron. That's the strength. Even when they've been battered, sort of steamrolled, bulldozed, they've still got that gritty kind of Churchillian chin. They're going to go through whatever happens. That's the strength of their life. There are other people whose strong point is emotion. Oh, my. It's like opening the sluice gates. They've got such powerful feelings, such powerful emotions. Now, this is not altogether bad. Because these people are often very loving people and very feelingful people. And this is the strength of their life. Their weak points come out of this. But the strong points of their life is their emotions. There are other people, of course, it's their reasoning faculties, their sort of brain power, if you like. It's the strength of their life. Oh, they pride themselves on it. You know, they're the kind of people who like to go away and sit down and chew it over. Think about it. The pros and the cons. That's the strength of their life. They sort everything out. They think everything out. They sort of never make a decision without a lot of careful weighing up of pros and cons. That is the strength of their life. The psalmist says that none of these things are the strength of his life. And indeed, to come to the place where the Lord Jesus, you can say, he is the strength of my life, these other things, the props, have got to be destroyed. And that is a very, very painful experience. So on the positive side, going back to Psalm 68 and verse 28, we have this wonderful word, thy God hath commanded thy strength. Who is going to fail or fall if God has commanded their strength? A word has gone out from the throne. A word has passed God's lips. And this word is, for that one, I command strength. Now nothing in heaven, on earth, or in hell can stop God's word. If God has spoken a word concerning you, dear child of God, then no power in the whole universe, things visible or things invisible, can stop the word of God being fulfilled. And if God has said concerning you, you may be the weakest child of God in this company. You may feel that you're just so unstable, so all over the place. But if God has said concerning you, I have commanded your strength, then, dear child of God, the greater the weakness, the greater the instability, the greater the resources God has put at your disposal. He has commanded it. Angelic ministry is angelic ministry. And whilst we don't want to be sort of all bound up with angels, the point is this. It says he will give his angels charge over thee to keep thee in thy way, if you only knew it. Some people here have got quite a few angels watching over them. It is in fact actually true that the greatest number present at any one of our gatherings are the angelic host. And that's why some of our hymns, which we completely forget about, we call upon the angels to help us praise the Lord, but we sing it as poetry. We don't realize that the people who wrote the hymns actually meant it. For in the old days, right back in the Old Testament, it was considered that every meeting didn't open until all the angels were present. I mean, it's the old Testament conception that all the angels came. And it's absolutely true. They are ministers of God to do his bidding. And you see, we are creatures of time and sense. We see a room, we see windows, we see chairs, we see a carpet, we see walls, we see people. We're creatures of time and sense. But there is another world which God sees, more permanent and more powerful than all these things which you see. And that invisible host are there to dislodge other things and to make a way. Well, now that's only by the way, it's a digression. It would be an interesting study one of these days. But the fact of the matter is this. That if you are weak and God has commanded your strength, why, for all you know, you may have 500 angels waiting on you. God has said, now then, that one's very weak. You just make absolutely certain that they know my strength. Clear the way in front of them. Of course, everything depends upon the faith of that person. If they're not going to believe and not go forward, then the whole heavenly host are paralyzed, for they will never carry you. Not till you pass away. And then it says in the word, they will carry you into the presence of God. But they will never carry you, not while you're here. You have to take the step of faith. And isn't this exactly what we have in the Old Testament? The angel of his presence going before them into the land and dispossessing this terror that fell upon them. Who was responsible for this? A word from God, but, the servants of the Lord, the invisible servants of the Lord that did it. Well, that's, as I say, a digression. The fact is that God has commanded your strength. Now you may be the weakest person here, but God has said of you, I have commanded your strength. He has made available his strength. Now just have a look at one or two of these verses. Look at verse 18. Because this strength is in Christ. Thou hast ascended on high. Thou hast led away captives. Thou hast received gifts among men. Now from Ephesians 4, we learn exactly that was fulfilled in the Lord Jesus Christ. Ephesians 4, verse 8. Wherefore he saith, when he ascended on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. Now look at verse 7 of Ephesians 4. But unto each one of us was the grace given according to the measure of the gift of Christ. So this psalm about thy God hath commanded thy strength, it's all linked with the Lord Jesus Christ, who has ascended on high and led captivity captive and given gifts unto men. And grace has been given according to the measure of the gift of Christ. So if you're called to be an apostle, then grace according to that gift. If you're called to be a help, then you've got grace according to the measure of that gift. If you've been called to be a, a housewife, a mother, a joyful mother of children, then you've got grace according to the measure of that gift. Do you understand? It's always according to the measure. So none of us has any excuse. God has exactly commanded the strength for every single one of us. Now, I find this very wonderful because wherever you look, you begin to find it. Turn to Philippians chapter 4 and verse 13. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I can do all things. Absolutely correctly, it is I can do all things in Christ who strengthens me. Now, this little preposition is quite important in one way. I can do all things in Christ who strengthens me. It's where we are that counts in this matter. Thy God hath commanded your strength. But if you're looking in the wrong place, you won't find the strength. But if you're looking in Christ, there provided for you by command of God is the strength of the Lord Jesus Christ. Take it, use it, exploit it, thank God for it. Now, look again, turn back to Ephesians. Oh, no, just wait, go on to Colossians chapter 1, verse 11. Strengthened with all power according to the might of his glory. Whose glory? The glory of our Lord Jesus Christ, the might of his glory. Strengthened with all power according to the might of his glory. What for? So that we can go preaching everywhere. No, unto all patience and long-suffering with joy. And that includes every one of us. So if you thought now that text was for someone like Billy Graham or C.H. Spurgeon or Watchman Nee or someone like that, you're quite wrong. It's for you. And all this being strengthened with might is according to the might of his glory. Strengthened with all power according to the might of his glory. Now, God, in other words, measures the power that he gives us according to the glory of Christ. Now, that glory is everlasting glory, and that glory is endless. It's just tremendous. Now, according to that, God has commanded your strength. And then again, turn back to Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. In the Lord. Don't be strong in yourself. Don't be strong in your knowledge of doctrine. Be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the whole armor of God. Thy God hath commanded your strength. Here it is, a complete armor. Put it on. Put it on. It's Christ. Put it on. In him you find the provision of God. Turn back to Ephesians, same letter back to Ephesians chapter 3, verse 16. Paul's prayer, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, that ye may be strengthened with power through his Spirit in the inward man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, to the end that ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be strong to apprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge, that ye may be filled unto all the fullness of God. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. So here it is again, thy God hath commanded thy strength. that he would grant you that ye may be strengthened with power, made strong with power through his Spirit in the inward man. Made strong with power through his Spirit in the inward man. The only way you and I can know the strength of Christ is through the Holy Spirit. That's the only way. We can never know what it is to be strengthened with all power except by the Holy Spirit. Now, if you again turn back to Philippians, Paul tells us something which I think we overlook with this little verse, which is such a favorite with many people. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. But very few people ever look at the verse or two before it. Here it is. Verse 11. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am therein to be content. I know how to be abased, and I know how to abound. In everything and in all things. Now, I wonder what that means. Isn't everything all things? In everything and in all things have I learned the secret, both to be filled and to be hungry, both to abound and to be in want. I can do all things in Christ who strengthens me. Now, I think many people have got an idea that what we've all got to find is the secret of how to be full, how to abound. But there is a secret both of how to be abased and how to abound. Now, if you've only got the secret of how to always be on top, then you will not know the power of God. What you've also got to learn is what it is to be hungry. Now, someone will say straight away, but God has promised that your bread shall not fail. So what did the apostle mean? He, in fact, in his catalogue in 2 Corinthians 11, speaks of being in hunger as one of the things that he suffered again and again. In necessities, he says. In want. But how can the apostle who wrote, "My God shall supply every need of yours," speak of being in want or in necessities or in hunger? In Romans chapter 8, the apostle mentions these things as things that cannot separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ. He speaks of nakedness, yet we're told that we're to look at the birds and the flowers. God takes care of those and can take care of you. So you see, you have two things here. Of course, it's God's promise to provide for us. But there is a secret to be learned. Not only how to unlock the promises of God, but how to praise God in difficult places. And when you and I learn the secret of how to go through, even in difficult places, in hunger or in need, then we've learnt how to do all things in Christ who strengthens me. Now that's a secret. I can do all things. Thy God hath commanded thy strength. So I can almost hear the Apostle Paul sort of saying, well, well, here I am with no food for today and no food for tomorrow. But praise God, he is my strength. And I shall praise the Lord. What have I got strength for? I've got strength to live. How fast? And I'll come through with praise in my heart. Now that, I say, is a secret. Rather than a great heavy cloud coming down and saying, what's gone wrong? Oh, how terrible. Supposing Elijah, who saw such great miracles, when he came to the brook Cherith, had said, well, I think this is pretty poor. I mean, this is really poor. Ravens, the uncleanest, the most unclean of all birds, bringing me titbits. That takes faith, I can tell you, to eat. Where they got those titbits from? No, you never thought about it, many of you. You all think, oh, wonderful, wonderful. God bought things by the ravens. But don't you think the devil was whispering in Elijah's ear all the time, you be careful, you're going to die of some dread disease. And the water, it was a little trickle. You see, the point was that he had learnt a secret. He not only knew how to abound, but how to be abased. How to live on a slender thread. That almost at times is an invisible thread. There's a secret. Thy God hath commanded thy strength. Not just so that you can go through and say, look, I've got this, I've got that, I've got the other. But as the Apostle Paul says, when they've taken this, and when they've taken away my food, and taken away my home, then still I've got the secret. I can do all things in Christ who strengthens me. Now, I say that's a much more wonderful thing when a man who's being starved can praise the Lord and looks good. Like Daniel, he didn't look pasty and pale and sort of thin and sort of sallowish, but it says he had a very fine complexion, although he refused the king's dainties. So thy God hath commanded thy strength. I think we better really finish there, but what I'd just like to say is this, that if you look back to Psalm 68, you just take this away with you. You see, it is really the presence of the Lord. Verse 1, let God arise, let his enemies be scattered, let them also that hate him flee before him, as smoke is driven away, so drive them away. There is your strength. Thy God hath commanded your strength. It's the Lord himself. When God arises, his enemies are scattered. See again verse 7, O God, when thou wentest forth before thy people, when thou didst march through the wilderness, the earth trembled, the heavens also dropped rain at the presence of God. And so it goes right on. The wonder of it is that when the presence of the Lord is with you, things happen. Look at this wonderful verse 19. Blessed be the Lord, who daily beareth our burden. Do you know that? There thy God hath commanded your strength. Blessed be the Lord who daily beareth our burden. Some of us, we only get the Lord to bear our burden on certain days. We say, oh, it's a terrible day coming up. I must have a special time of prayer. And then we say, Julie, it was wonderful how the Lord helped me on that day. But we forget that the Lord is there every day, but you ignore him. There he is on Monday morning, waiting to bear the burden. But often people don't let him bear the burden. They say, no, I'll bear the burden today. He's blessed be the Lord who daily beareth our burden, even the God who is our salvation. God is unto us a God of deliverances, and unto Jehovah the Lord belongeth escape from death. Oh, how many situations that are of death coming into our lives, spiritual death. We can feel it. But unto Jehovah the Lord belongeth escape from death. God is unto us a God of deliverances. Do you know him like that? Again and again at wit's end corner, shut up, you're back against the wall, and at the last moment God steps in. He's to you a God of deliverance. Unto Jehovah the Lord belongeth escape from death. Well, there's a lot more one could say, because you see, you cannot be made strong spiritually without being made weak. And this is why we have that wonderful word in 2 Corinthians 12, and I think it's verse 8, my grace is sufficient for thee, for in your weakness my strength is made perfect, or my strength is made perfect through your weakness. Christmas. Now, that is the most wonderful word. If you'll only go away and reflect on it, just meditate on it, sit down and just, like you do your meal, sort of cut it up and digest it thoroughly. My grace is sufficient for thee. For my strength is made perfect through your weakness. So, in other words, sometimes God has to knock away the strong points in our lives until we come to the place where we discover that He has become strong through our weakness. Thy God hath commanded thy strength. Don't fear. He Himself has promised, my grace is sufficient for you. And do you know weakness? Then don't look at the weakness, but look at your Lord, because He has commanded your strength, and He will strengthen the thing which He has wrought for you. What has He wrought for you? A wonderful salvation. So He'll strengthen it. What has He wrought for you? A work that's going to end in you being like Christ. That's what He's going to strengthen. What is the thing He's done? He's made you one with Himself. He'll strengthen that. He'll strengthen the relationship between you and your Lord. Can you help but praise Him? Oh, that's, I think, is one. Thy God hath commanded thy strength. Well, may the Lord speak to whom He will through that little word. Now, Lord Jesus, all of us in one way or another need this word, but perhaps some of us need it really. In a singular way. Lord, watch over this word, keep it in our hearts, and develop it, Lord, and give us real light and understanding. And may it be for everyone who's perhaps at the end of their tether or in circumstances that seem far too big for them, Lord, may such know from this day forward that strength which Thou hast commanded as their portion. And though, Lord, they become in themselves weaker and weaker, may they know what it is to become stronger and stronger in the Lord. And we ask it in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ.